Another portrait this evening. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time to study your word. We ask for your help this evening. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, helps to apply your word to our hearts. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as I can remember, there have only been a few times where I have handed out or sent out formal invitations for something. Thinking back, I probably for my graduations, like graduation from high school and college, I'm pretty sure I sent out formal invitations for those. Definitely for my wedding, and by me, I mean Erica did. But I was thinking back and going, I think that's really the only times I've sent out real formal invitations. Formal invitations, they serve kind of two important functions. One is they let people know about the event. They let you know what's going on. The second, though, is more of a behind-the-scenes one, and that is you let them know you want some money. You send out invitations so that they said, a graduation card with a gift card in it or maybe some cash. You're like, I'm graduating and I am poor. Or your wedding, you're like, I'm getting married and I'm poor, so I could, there you go, Wells. We could use some money, right? And those things. But the invitation in our story here in Matthew chapter 14, it's not a formal invitation. It's more of the informal one. And these we do a lot of, right? We do a lot of informal invitations. We're just inviting people over the house or inviting people to do stuff with us, right? There's just a lot of those, hey, this is going on. Do you want to jump in on it? Right? Do you want to be a part of this? Do you want to come over to the house sometime? Right? We do a lot of these sort of informal invitations. I love about this one here in Matthew chapter 14. I like that Peter just invites himself. He initiates this whole invitation, right? Jesus gives him the invitation in verse 29 where he says, come unto me. But it started in verse 28 where Peter did this, right? Peter started this whole, he invited himself to the party. And sometimes we do that too, right? We hear about something going on and we go, oh, that sounds like fun. Or I'm not doing anything that night either. Or, we throw out those kind of hints to get ourselves invited to whatever it is. And I like that that's just what Peter does. I feel like that's on brand for Peter to just be like, can I come? Can I be part of this? So that's what he does. He says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And so Jesus does. Jesus invites Peter to leave the boat and to step out onto the water. So if we take this story as a spiritual analogy, right? The analogy then is that this represents an invitation to be like Jesus Christ, to do what Jesus Christ is doing, to do what he has done, to live like him, to walk like him, to model our life after Jesus Christ, to serve as he served, to sacrifice like he did, to encourage people like he did, to say the things that Jesus Christ said, to share what he shared, to challenge people the same way Jesus Christ challenged people, to forgive, to love like Jesus Christ did, to go out and be like Christ, to not be like we are, but instead we're invited to be like Jesus Christ. These invitations, an invitation to be like Christ, It doesn't come in the mail in a fancy envelope. It comes in the form of maybe a conversation where we're just talking with someone. And in that, there's this invitation to respond to them like Jesus Christ would have. Maybe it comes in a need that we hear about, where we just hear, somehow that someone has a need. And it is this invitation for us to leave where we are and to go be like Jesus Christ. It comes in the form of a situation at work or at home, something that arises, and we recognize in that God is calling us to not be like ourselves, to not respond like we would, but to live like Jesus Christ. And our life is filled with these different invitations to leave who we are and be like Jesus Christ. And many times, we're just going about our day, and it's like Jesus Christ touches our heart and says, I want you to live like me. I want you to be in this situation like me. And in doing that, in leaving ourselves and being like Jesus Christ, there is this process of being drawn closer to Christ. The same thing we see with Peter, right? He was out there walking on the water like Jesus Christ was. There was also this then closeness to Jesus Christ. We find all of that. We get these invitations all throughout our life. And what I want to look at tonight is a response, a portrait of a response, how Peter responded to this invitation. And then for us, it's to look at our lives going, how am I going to respond? How am I going to respond when God touches my heart to live like Christ in a specific way, in a specific circumstance? How are we going to respond to that? And so we can look at Peter as this portrait of a response, learn some lessons from his response. And his response really was all about faith. And there's two lessons I think we can learn this evening. One is that faith is going to get us going. Faith is what gets us going. It's what's going to get us started. The only way we step out of the boat is by faith. I like to kind of try and picture these stories in my mind and kind of visualize how it would be if I put myself in that situation, what it would be like. And I wondered how Peter got out of the boat. You know, he's sitting there in that wooden boat, and Jesus says, all right, come out to me on the water. I wonder if he vaulted it. I don't know, maybe he like two hands on it and just like swung his legs over and he was, bam, on the water. Maybe he like just stepped over, right? Maybe he took a little more cautiously. Maybe he, you know, sat himself on the edge and swung his legs over. And I was like, I wonder how I would have done it. And I probably a little more cautiously, you know, maybe 1 foot over, just testing it at first, you know. I'm not going to dive in, you know. I don't know how I would have done it, right? But I think about Peter and just like him taking that step and going, all right, I'm leaving the safety, the relative safety of this boat to go out into the water. Right? Maybe he sat on the side backwards and went over backwards like they do scuba diving, right? I don't know how he did it. But what is emphasized is that this was an act of faith for Peter to not just go over the side, but to like step out onto the water, to trust that when Jesus said, you can walk on the water to me, that this was going to happen, that Jesus Christ was going to do that. Faith is what enables us to take that first step. When God puts something upon our heart, faith is what allows us to say, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to step out. It is that faith. And it enables us to do it because faith then connects us to everything that we need. Right? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Really what a lot of times holds us back is the missing ingredients. The things that we don't see that are there that we think should be there. Because we generally like to plan for things before we start out. Right? If you were going to set off on a week-long camping trip, you're going out in the wilderness for a week, you're going to like plan and plan on what you're going to bring. You're going to say, I need to have a tent. I've got to have like extra clothing, make sure I've got warm enough clothing. We're going to need to have food and all the gear. And you're going to write out a list, right? And go, I need to have this, check all those things off, make sure all of it fits in your pack that you carry in. You're going for a week out in the wilderness. You're going to make sure you have everything, all that you need before you set out. But it'd be different if you're like, you know, I'm going to go for a week down in Miami. You're going to be like, I'm going to pack and prepare things. But if I forget something, it's not that big a deal. There's Walmarts everywhere. There's Dollar Generals, I'm sure, down there, right? You're going to civilization. And I know we've said that a lot of times as a family. We're like, it's fine. If we forget something, you can just pick it up, right? It's just right there. And that's what faith is. Faith is us going, you know what? I don't have to have everything because I know it's right there in Jesus Christ. He is my sufficiency. It's okay if I look and go, I don't have everything. There are missing ingredients for this situation. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I'm powerful enough. But faith goes, I don't have to have everything because Jesus does. I'm just going to trust that my sufficiency is in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says that by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. When God called Abraham, he went not having everything he needed. You would think for a trip you would need like a map, an idea about where you're going. And Abraham didn't have those things. God called Abraham and just said, why don't you just go? Go and I will guide you. And Abraham went not knowing where he went. That's kind of a major ingredient we would think should be firmly in place when you set out on a trip. And yet God said, you just trust me. Trust that I will provide that along the way. And as Abraham went, God led him. And God led Abraham to exactly where he needed to be. Faith is what allows us to just step out of the boat going, I think there's things that I'm missing, things that I don't have, things that I should need, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that God will supply all of those things. And faith gets us going when God says to move, not when we feel like we're ready, not when we feel like we've got everything in place. But when God puts it upon our heart, we trust him. We say, all right, I'm just going to step out and go. Do what God has called me to do. Faith enables us to just obey God. But there's another lesson. If you look in verse 30, it says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If number one, faith is what gets us going. Number two, faith is what keeps us going. Faith keeps us going. This miracle, and think about it, it's really a unique miracle. It's different from, I think, all the other ones. So I was kind of thinking through them. The rest of the miracles you think about are pretty much one and done. You know, like there's a leper that comes to Jesus Christ and he trusts in Jesus Christ and Jesus heals him and he goes on his way and he's healed, right? Or like the miracle of God feeding Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? It happened, it was over and it was done. This is one of those that was like an ongoing sort of thing where he needed faith, ongoing faith. Right, for many of these, it was like an instant of faith, and then the miracle happened, and then they moved on. But this was one where, like, faith to get out of the boat, and then faith to stay on top of the water. Like, he didn't need just like a moment of faith to make a decision, but it was like this ongoing faith that he had to stay on top of the water. And when he stopped trusting, the miracle went away. We don't see that in any other miracle. We don't find that, like when Jesus fed the multitude, that like if they stopped believing, all of a sudden the bread vanished out of their stomach, you know, or like he healed a leper and then they stopped believing and the leprosy came back, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, oh man, gotta go see Jesus again, right? But that's what we find in this one, that when the faith stopped, so did that miraculous buoyancy that Peter had. We don't find that with other miracles, and yet there's a lesson for us. And that is, faith will get us going. But if we're going to keep going and we're going to keep doing what Jesus did and living like Jesus, it's going to take ongoing faith. It's the concept of we walk by faith, not by sight, where we just continually live step by step, day by day, trusting that it's faith that starts us going. And then it's faith that continues us to walk day by day and moment by moment. To keep going for the Lord, we need to keep trusting. The temptation is the same thing that Peter faced. Like we start looking at the scenery, it's like we almost set it on autopilot. You know, if you got one of those Teslas that drive you automatically, right? I know I'd be one of those that we're like, maybe I should like stay right there monitoring what's in front and getting ready in case something happens. But you know, we're going to be like on our phone, looking out the window, reading a book or something, right? All of a sudden you get distracted by the scenery. You're looking all around. That's what Peter does, right? Verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. When we take our eyes off Jesus Christ and we start looking at everything else, that's where all the scary things are. That's where we start to get afraid. With the circumstances, that's when we start to see all the things that are missing, all the details that aren't in place. That's where we start really getting nervous about what could happen and all the ways that we could fail. And Peter starts to notice the wind and therefore the waves. And understandably, he gets nervous and he gets afraid. And it's then that he starts to sink. And after Jesus grabs him, he asks him, "Wherefore didst thou doubt? What happened to your faith?" Right? The faith that got you out of the boat, what happened to that faith? Where did it go? The faith that got him onto the water was the faith that was going to keep him on that water, where he just focused his eyes on Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is an ongoing requirement for Christ-likeness. That we just trust God. We trust that living like Christ is the right thing to do. That is what God wants us to do. Faith is going to keep us going. We need to keep our faith firmly focused on Jesus Christ, not looking at everything else. And when we do that, he'll encourage us. Jesus Christ will encourage us. He will strengthen us. He'll give us the boldness to keep going. He will hold us up above all the fears and the doubts that start to arise and that start to weave their way into our hearts. He'll give us the strength that we need. It's a life of faith, not just a moment of faith. It's us living and walking by faith. It's that decision we make to trust, not just once, but over and over, day after day. So go with me, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Peter's response. When he initiates the invitation and then Jesus Christ says, "All right, come out on the water and walk on the water with me." Peter responds by faith. And this life is one continuous invitation for us to walk out to Jesus Christ and be like him. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Constantly, constantly being invited to live like Jesus Christ and therefore to trust him. We probably got invitations last week to live like Jesus Christ. We're going to get invitations to live like Jesus Christ this week. They're not going to arrive in the mail. You can go check your mailbox, but not for these, right? Not for these sort of invitations. But what are they going to look like? And probably this week, it's going to look like maybe an assignment at work where you're given something to do at work. And it is this invitation to just trust Christ with that, to just handle it like Jesus Christ would want you to handle it, with patience and to just take that on. And maybe it's going to arrive like something that's added to your schedule, something you didn't know was going to be on your plate, but all of a sudden your schedule fills up and you're like, "I thought this week was going to be less busy than last week." And all of a sudden it is just as busy as the week before. And that's an invitation for you to just trust Christ and to walk through your life like Jesus Christ would. Maybe it'll be an opportunity to do something where it's optional, and the Lord lays it on your heart to go ahead and do it. You're like, "I don't know if I can do that." But it's an invitation to just trust Christ for that. Maybe it's a need where you see that someone has a need and you're like, God has put me in a place where I can meet that need in whatever way. And again, it's an invitation to trust Christ. Maybe it's going to be a health issue. Maybe it's going to be a financial issue. Somewhere along the way, as we go through these days, God is going to give us this invitation and say, "What are you going to do? How are you going to respond to that? Will you just trust me enough to step out by faith and live like Jesus Christ? And the question is, what is our response going to be? How are we going to handle it? Are we going to choose faith? Sometimes you get an invitation, and at the bottom, it's got four very important letters. It's the letters RSVP. And it's them saying, all right, let us know if you're going to attend. Let us know what the plan is. Let us know what you are going to do ahead of time. That way we can maybe plan to have enough food. And that's kind of the important part of all of that, right? But it's them saying, all right, what are you planning to do? And, you know, we have a chance tonight, right, with as we look ahead toward this week. And as we just sit here tonight going, tomorrow morning we face a Monday, right? And we face a whole nother week. What are we planning to do? What is our response going to be when we face all these invitations this week? A lot of times I think, you know, we do this with things, events in life. We're like, I'll wait and see how I feel that day. I'll wait and see if it's a busy day, I'm going to skip it. You know, you're like, I'll just wait and kind of see how I'm feeling before I decide, right? I think that's a recipe for disaster for us in the Christian life. If we're like, I'm going to wait and see in the moment how I feel like I should respond. When instead we can plan ahead of time and go like, by God's grace, my plan is faith. My plan is that when these things happen, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to cling tenaciously to faith in God. I'm going to trust him and rely upon him. I'm going to step out of the boat by faith. When the wind starts and the waves start, I'm going to just stand there by faith, keep my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. A portrait of response. The Lord looks at Peter and says, all right, come on out of that boat. Step out of that boat. And it takes faith on Peter's part, and he does it. And then his faith wavers. He gets distracted by other things. The Lord looks at us tonight and says, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust me with all the things that you're about to face? I don't know, starting maybe 5 minutes from now. How are we going to handle those things? What's our response going to be? Let's learn from Peter to just take that first step by faith, and then every step after that, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, saying, I want to trust him every step of the way. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you are a trustworthy God, that we can rely upon you knowing that you never fail, you never let us down. You are always there and all that we need. Lord, help us to see these invitations for what they are, an invitation to rely upon you and trust in you and then to live like you. And Lord, help us to respond exactly as we should. Lord, help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.